For those of you who were not here last week, I just want to introduce Clayton again. Clayton Dugan comes to us from our hometown in Victoria, BC, Canada, and he began his ministry in Britain. You'll find out right away what part of Britain he's from with his accent, but then 20 years in tent ministry, evangelism to children and adults, and then over to Victoria, and then ministry all over the world. And God miraculously put this trip together in fairly short notice, and it was so obvious that it was of God, and the miracle has continued. Throughout this week, God has worked mightily. As one pastor said to me, my ministry and I will never be the same again. And that was just one, and I'm sure God did a work in many hearts. Well, God's here by His Spirit this morning to do a work in our hearts, and I know that as you listen to what God has for us, that we will all be changed. Clayton?
Thank you, Brian, and good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It is such a privilege to be here again this morning. We have had a tremendous week, and we give God all the praise and the glory for what He has been doing, and we just feel so utterly unworthy of the blessing of the Lord. I want to thank you for your prayers. We have felt upheld by the prayers of God's people this week. And it's been just such a joy to fellowship with the pastors, and it's been humbling, actually, to see the ministry that they're involved in and to draw close to them and minister to them in Jesus' name. And it's just been a huge joy and privilege. I want to say thank you to my translator this week, my new friend, Alberto. He did a phenomenal job. He'd never done it before. He'd never done that before, and he was ably assisted by Terry and Eric at various junctures, and we made a great team. I prayed that whoever the translator was to be, that his heart and mine would be knit together as one, and I believe God did that. So we praise the Lord, do we not?
Amen.
I'm getting all broken up here this morning. I'm not looking forward to leaving you guys, you know? It's been such a rich time, and talking about rich, thank you, Pastor Rich, for allowing me the privilege to minister in this pulpit. May God bless you as a church. We will be praying for you. There's a little grey-haired lady up in Victoria, BC, who's been praying for us every week, and I'm married to her and have been for 46 years, and we together are going to continue to pray for you in the days ahead, that God will really bless the ministry in this place for His glory. Well, we're going to turn to the Word of God now, and we want to turn to the book of Hebrews this morning, and I'm just going to read a short reading, actually. You don't need to turn to it if you want to just listen to the Word, but whatever you do, please listen to what the Word of God is saying. Hebrews 12, and I just want to read three verses, if I may. And it says, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Now we pray God will really bless those verses and others to us this morning. A few months ago, my wife and I were out walking one day, and we just happened to meet a gentleman who lives fairly near where we are. And just About the same time he and I had open heart surgery, I had a triple bypass, he had a quadruple bypass. And so when we meet, we're always comparing notes. You know, when you meet guys who've had open heart surgery, there's competition going, you know. I had a triple bypass. Oh, I had a quadruple, you know. So there's this kind of competition going on. But anyway, this neighbor and I were always comparing notes. And he said in the course of the conversation, he said, you know, I feel I've been given a second chance. Well, my wife is sometimes, I think, is more of an evangelist than me. And she said to him, she said, Joe, where would you be if you hadn't got a second chance? Well, whoa indeed. Well, that began a very interesting conversation. And our friend was willing to keep walking with us, and we walked for some time together, and we had the most wonderful time, Isabel and I, sharing the gospel with this man. And then at the end of the conversation, he said a thing that many people have said to me over the years. I wish I had faith. I wish I had faith. And I tried to explain to him how he could have faith. But that is something that rings in the hearts of many, many people. I wish I had faith. I wish I had this kind of faith that was real, that could change my life, that could bring me into the enjoyment of what other Christians seem to be enjoying. And ladies and gentlemen, this morning, I want us to come to the Word of God, and I've been praying that God will teach us something about this faith that is real, that is vital, that is life-changing. And there are certain principles in the Word of God that we need to come to think about if this faith of ours is going to be real. Now, last Sunday morning, you will remember, we spoke in a text from John's Gospel, chapter 19, and we spoke about the words of Jesus from the cross when he said, "It is finished." Now, when Jesus cried these words from the cross, he wasn't just like finishing off something like I'm finishing off my visit here to Mexico. Jesus was completing what God had ordained from way back in the eons of eternity past, and he was completing and bringing to fulfillment God's great plan of salvation. And Jesus was making it possible for men and women to be reconciled to God. And that is something that becomes real in our lives by simple, childlike, not childish, childlike faith. And when that faith is real, ladies and gentlemen, we are reconciled to God and we are brought into a living relationship with Him. And what Jesus completed on that cross becomes real on the inside of us for every day of our lives and on into eternity. And that becomes real by this step of faith. Now, I want to tell you something before I go any further. I hope you're not thinking that God can forgive your sin and bring you to Himself just because He loves you. You know what it's like sometimes? We do something wrong and we would say, or maybe a child would do something wrong, and then they'll think within their hearts, well, my daddy loves me, so he'll forgive me. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, it's impossible for God to do that. The only reason God can forgive you and me is because His holiness was totally satisfied when Jesus died upon that cross. Amen. That's the only reason that God can forgive us. When we go, I was telling the pastors a bit about this last week, but when a court of law is convened and a criminal is standing before the judge, sometimes the judge will say, I need to punish you to the full extent of the law. I'm sentencing you to 10 years in prison and without parole. The man goes to prison, he serves his 10 years, he comes out. The law is satisfied. Amen? The law is satisfied. Whether he's changed or not is a matter of opinion. But the law has been satisfied. When Jesus died on the cross, the word that we were looking at this week was the word propitiation. And it means, it's a big word, but it means that God's holiness has been satisfied. Jesus was our substitute. And on that cross, he took the wrath of Almighty God that we deserved. And he took it in our place. And he died for us. And because of what Jesus did on the cross, because God's holiness has been satisfied, God can say to you and me, you can be forgiven. Amen?
Amen.
God can not only forgive us, but he can cleanse or purge our conscience from sin. He can remove it completely. He brings us to himself. Now, that is something that is available to us all, and we enter into the enjoyment of it by taking a step of faith, by trusting for ourselves, believing for ourselves. Now, what are we talking about when we talk about this kind of faith? Let me share some things with you before we say any more. We need to understand that faith, the word itself means trust, or to be persuaded of something. To be persuaded. It is always, hear me this morning, it is always a gift from God. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that by grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. And you see, when we come to God on the basis of his grace demonstrated at the cross, and we come by faith, that is the faith that saves. Amen? That is the faith that brings us into the enjoyment of all that God has made available to us in Christ. It is always a gift from God. It is God's work to birth that faith in our hearts. It's always like that. That never changes. Even when you're a Christian and you're walking with God, you walk by faith, the Bible tells us, and not by sight. And it says we walk by faith every time we take a step of faith. That faith is something that is birthed in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I want to say to those of you who say you're Christians today, when was the last time you took a step of faith? Was the last time you took a step of faith the day when you trusted Christ as your Savior? Because I want to say to you, my brother and my sister, if you're not continually walking in faith, you are not growing in the Lord. Amen. It's a walk of faith. And that kind of faith is always birthed in our hearts by God Himself. Always the case. And we were reading, if those who were at the conference last week will forgive me for referring to 1 John again just briefly. But in 1 John it says in chapter 5, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Whoever believes is born of God. And then he goes on to say, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And when John talks about the world, it's talking about the world system. This world system is governed by greed, selfishness, sin, and evil of every kind. We live in a beautiful world that has been ruined by mankind and his sin. Amen?
Amen.
And people, if we want to overcome the world system, if we want to live lives that God means us to be living in fellowship with Him, we do that by walking in faith. By walking by faith. And John says this is what overcomes the world, even our faith. It's always like that. I'm praying that God will so speak into our lives this morning that faith will be birthed within us. Maybe for the first time. Or maybe God will light a fire within those of us who know the Lord and give us a great desire and longing to walk by faith. To walk in obedience to Him. And know that we are growing in the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Knowing that we are growing in the Lord. That He is becoming more real and precious to us every day. It's always God's work to produce faith in our hearts. You cannot produce that faith. My friend that Isabel and I were walking with said, I wish I had faith. And he really meant it. And everything within me wanted to produce faith within him. Amen. Everything within me wanted to just put it there somehow or other. But I can't do that. That is the work of God. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10. It says in verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. In other words, when the good word of God is proclaimed, when the gospel is preached, when the word of God is taught, the Holy Spirit births faith in a person's heart. The word of God touches that heart, and the Spirit of God creates faith, and we respond to the Lord in that way. Now, when it says in that verse, and this is very, very important, when it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, that is a very important word. It's the word in the Greek language, the word rhema. And the word rhema means it is a particular word, a living word, a word directly from God. It's not any old word. It's not the Bible, just the whole Bible. It's a particular word. That same word, rhema, is used in Ephesians 6, where it talks about the whole armor of God, you know. Remember it says, and we take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You don't go hitting the enemy over the head with a big Thompson Chain reference Bible. When you take the sword of the Spirit, that is the rhema of God. It's God's word to you that you can use in your battle against the evil one. And if God's not speaking rhema words into your life, dear friends, you know nothing about walking by faith. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I said it last week and I emphasize it again. My dear Christian brothers and sisters, we need to be men and women of the Word. We need to get a hold of ourselves by the scruff of the neck and make ourselves get into God's Word every day of our lives. You don't find the time, you make the time. You discipline yourself. You do whatever it takes to be in the presence of God, allowing God to speak into your life. Because, dear people, He wants to speak a rhema word to you.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you're going through at the moment, whatever the challenge in your life, God has a word for your situation. And He wants you to hear that word. And immediately, you know you've heard from God. It just comes to my memory at the moment, but back in the book of Psalms, in Psalm number 92, a few weeks ago, I had a bad week. You ever had one of those? Yeah, I knew that would strike a chord. I had a really bad week, everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I can remember getting in the presence of God and opening the Word of God. And God gave me a rhema word. Amen? I said to the Lord when I got into His presence, I said, Lord, I need to hear from You today. I need to hear from You. And He was faithful. Do you know what He said to me? He gave me this word. He said, the righteous man will flourish like a palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. I stop there. Do you know what that means? That's a picture of a man or a woman whose roots are deep in God. Amen. Like a cedar of Lebanon. Your roots are deep in God. And when they're there, people, you will never be moved. Amen.
Amen.
You are deep in God. That is the place of absolute security. And then it goes on to say, they will still yield fruit in old age. As a lot of you guys like me should be saying amen right now. They will still yield fruit in old age. I'm really glad about that. God's not done with us yet. Amen? So long as there's breath in our body, we're going to be fruitful because we're rooted in God. But then it went on to say this. They will be full of sap and very green. That's not green in the sense that you're not quite with it, My wife went to a doctor one day. And do you know what he said to her? He said, Isabel, we're going to restore you to greenness. What did he mean? You look at a tree, if it's dry and brown, when the storm comes, it breaks. When it's full of sap and very green, it bends with the wind and it comes back again. It's full of sap and it's very green. That was a rhema word, amen? Amen? I just rejoiced in it and I said, Lord, they can throw whatever they like at me. I'm rooted in you. Amen. I'm filled with your life, your greenness. And dear friends, that means wholeness, completeness. That means healthfulness. That means no matter what storm comes, we may bend with the storm, and we all feel the storms. We feel the sorrow, the sadness, the brokenness sometimes. But praise God, when we're full of His life and we're very green in the Lord, we come back. We're strong. Praise His name. And they're very green to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. So do you see, my dear friends, when God speaks into your word, and if you're not in the word, you'll never hear a rhema word from God. And God wants to speak into your heart just where you are right now. He has a word for you. And you will know when God has spoken. You will know when God has spoken. You'll just know that He's given you a word that is right for your heart. When we come with an open heart and we say, we're seeking Him. We're seeking Him. Lord, I want to see Your glory. I want to look into Your face, Lord. I want to hear Your voice. I want to draw close to You. The Lord will speak. The Lord will speak. So that faith, that's what births this faith, that living word. You see, it becomes a persuasion from the Lord. It becomes... You see, it's not the same as believing in your head. Do you know? It's not the same as believing in your head. It's going beyond that. It's believing God's truth, but taking a step and saying, I choose to stand on God's truth. I choose to stand on it. It's an act of your will, people. When I make a decision to stand on God. God has spoken His word into my heart. I say, thank you, Lord. That is your word to me. I decide right now to stand upon that word and to move forward in faith. Then we grow. And God gives us other words. And God continues to speak. And we continue to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Please, dear people, maybe you've been a Christian for many, many years. I want to tell you something for the glory of God. I first trusted the Lord Jesus when I was 6 and a half. I can remember it like it was yesterday. As my dad knelt down beside me. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart. That's a lot of years ago. Do you know what I want to tell you? I am more excited about that today than I have ever been. Just because it's a lot of years ago, we don't need to get into a rut. We don't need to get into a ho-hum kind of spiritual existence. God wants to infuse freshness into our lives and our walk with Him every day, so that every day is new. Amen? That is God's ministry for you and me, day by day. So it goes beyond just belief. You see, when we read from Hebrews chapter 12 this morning, and you'll notice what I consider very important words in that short reading, where he exhorts us to be fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, the man or the woman whose focus is Jesus Christ, when He is at the very center of all of our living, and we are feeding on Him in His Word, that individual will grow in faith. It's fixing our focus on Him that faith keeps on being birthed within us and we grow in our relationship with the Lord. Now, he begins our reading this morning with, therefore. That's referring back to chapter 11, the great cloud of witnesses. All these men and women of faith. And when you read through that chapter, you see how God spoke into their lives. They believed God and they moved on that basis. I was greatly touched, again, just thinking about this, looking at Hebrews 11 and verse 8. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, what did he do? He obeyed. We have witnessed a dear, precious family this morning with the call of God upon their lives. We blessed them in Jesus' name today. What are they going to do? Go home and change their mind and say, I don't think we'll bother? They're going to obey. And only God knows what He's going to do through that step of obedience. Amen. We haven't yet seen that, amen? But we will. It's going to count for eternity. There are going to be people in heaven one day because that precious family spent all those hours and hours and hours translating the Word of God. People, that's living. Believe me, that's living. Abraham, when he was called, he heard a rhema word. God said to him, I want you to get up and leave your home country. I want you to move out. And he did it. He obeyed. And then it says, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Brian told you that this visit of mine to Mexico was put together very quickly and it was all of God. But you know, when I knew it was God wanted me to be here, I didn't just say, well, I'll just turn up at the airport and I'll, you know what I mean? I knew where I was going. I made preparations. Abraham didn't know. He had no clue where he was going. But he obeyed. He obeyed. People, sometimes God will speak into your life and you will not know where it's going to go. You won't know the end results. God doesn't always show us these things. All He wants us to know is this, that no matter what, He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And when we move in obedience, He will always be there. He will always be faithful. And the obedient heart will prove God faithful every time. Now, when you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll find, and I don't want to get into that in detail just now, but I want you to know that the book of Hebrews, one of the things it teaches us, and if you want to understand Hebrews, you must never forget one fundamental thing, and that is that it was written to Hebrews. If you forget that, you'll miss the meaning of the whole thing. It was written to Hebrews. And we get a bit of their history back in chapters 3 and 4. How that God did so many things for them. He brought them out of Egypt. He took them through the Red Sea. He provided manna from them. He provided water from a rock. He provided the rock, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And they saw, and we're told in chapter 3 of Hebrews, they saw God's works for 40 years. It says, and God says, even though that was the case, they did not know my ways. And because of that, they did not enter into His rest. And that whole generation missed the promised land. Now, why did that happen? Why did that tragedy happen? Well, it tells us in chapter 4. Because it says, they had the good news preached to them. But the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united with faith. They missed it. They heard it all. They knew it all. But they missed the promised land. Because they would not stand on the promises of God. God said to them, they said they had received a rhema word from God. God said to you, I'm going to lead you into a land that I have given you. He didn't say, I will give it to you. He said, I have given it you. But they missed it because they would not take God at His word. They would not believe. They heard from God. They saw it. Think of it. For 40 years. 40 years, people. I know, I don't mean to be judgmental right now, and I have to search my heart And I want to tell you something. I want you to pray for me. I've learned many times in the past, I come and preach my little heart out, and I get home to Victoria, and I'm the first person to be tested in the ministry I've been giving in Mexico. Amen? So pray for me, because it happens all the time. But the Lord is faithful. Amen? The Lord is faithful. But these people, they heard from the Lord. And for 40 years, I want to tell you there are people sitting in Christian churches all over Mexico today, all over Canada today, all over America today, all over the United Kingdom today, and they've been going to churches for years and years and years, and they've seen God do things, they've heard of what God can do, and they've sat in these pews, and they have never moved one inch spiritually. We're not growing in faith, ladies and gentlemen. And I believe the call of God to all of us today would be exactly that. You see, God gave them a promise. But just because somebody gives a promise, we have to have faith to appropriate that promise. We have to have faith to make it our own. The people of Israel were given a promise. I have given you the land. But they did not appropriate that promise and move into the land when God gave them the opportunity. Do you remember when the 10 spies that went to spy in Canaan, and 10 were bad and 2 were good, and they chose to listen to the 10 bad ones who came back all moaning and whining and complaining about the giants and the problems and the difficulties, and Joshua and Caleb came back and said, "It's a fruitful land and our God will give us the victory. He has promised." And there was only 2 men who were prepared to trust God. And those 2 men were blessed for the rest of their lives. Amen. God blessed them and used them. The rest of them died in the wilderness. They missed God's best because they would not move in faith. My dear friends, this morning, God wants to bless your life more than you have ever dreamt was possible. God wants to pour Himself into your life. God wants to fill your life with His glory. He wants to live His life in you and through you. He's making you a promise today. Whoever believes will have everlasting life. Not believing with your head, but having heard from God His living, dynamic word, taking a step of faith and trusting, taking Him at His word, standing upon His promises, surrendering our lives without reserve to Him. In Hebrews 11 and at the end of the chapter, we're told about these men and women of faith. All these having gained approval. And that word "gained approval" means that they received a testimony. They had a testimony. That was the gained approval when they moved in obedience and they took God at His word. Their testimony was, God is faithful. Dear friends, this morning I'm here to tell you in a very simple way. I'm here to tell you, God is always faithful. He cannot fail because He is God. And the individual who comes and surrenders their heart and life to Him as absolute Lord and says, "Lord, I'm going to trust You. From this moment on, I'm making a decision. I'm going to trust You, Lord. I'm going to take You at Your word. I'm going to stand on Your word." God will respond to that simple step of faith. God will bless such a life. Praise His wonderful name. He will respond. And these men and women receive that approval. I just rejoice to be able to stand here this morning and tell you it works. Amen. It really works. This is God's truth, people. This is God's truth. And when we trust Him, He will be faithful. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never really taken any step of faith. Maybe you've come to this church for donkey's years. But it's never really dawned on you that you need to do something about all the truth that you've been hearing. And maybe this morning something I've said, something from the Word of God, would be God's Rhema word to you today that has touched your heart. What are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about the fact, I believe the greatest Rhema word in the Word of God, we could look upon it like this today anyway, it is finished. What are you going to do about that? God, people say to me all the time, you look at the mess the world's in, why doesn't God do something about it? Why doesn't God do something about all this suffering if He's so great? Listen to me, people. God could not do any more than what He's done. He gave Himself in the person of His Son. Jesus took upon Himself on that cross all the sin of humanity, where all the suffering and anguish on this planet came from in the first place. Jesus took it all upon Himself. That's why John in his Gospel describes Jesus as the Word. God's Word to the world. What are we going to do about it? You see, you can't see what God has done for you on a cross and just ignore it. You are going to make a decision. Somebody said to my wife and I some time ago, somebody for whom we're still praying, she said, I'm going to think about it and I'll maybe do this another time. And my wife said, you've made a decision. You've made a decision. Dear people, this morning I make no apologies for saying this to you, but where you will be in eternity depends what you do with those words, it is finished. And my dear friend, our neighbor back home, he said, I wish I had faith. I said to him, oh, my dear friend, you can have faith. Hear what God is saying to you. Take a step and obey, believe what God has said. Put your trust in what He's done for you. Stand upon it. And God will bless your life. If you're a Christian this morning, hear the Word of God when He says to us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles us. And when you read the book of Hebrews, I believe that the greatest sin that entangled them was the sin of unbelief. There's nothing will stop you growing in the Lord like unbelief, not taking God at His word. It is absolutely crucial to growing in grace. And I pray God this morning we'll hear the word of the Lord and we'll lay aside whatever entangles us. And we'll say, Lord, today I'm surrendering my life to You in a fresh, new way. That You might come and make real in me all that Jesus died to give me on that cross. I want to say that we're going to sing another song in a moment. And I just feel I must do this morning. As we sing this song, if God has touched your heart today, and you want, maybe for the very first time, to take a step of faith and trust Christ as your Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something that is very difficult. But as we sing, we're going to stand and sing. I want you to come and leave your seat and come and sit down in one of the front rows here. And we will be delighted to pray with you afterwards. Then after we sing, I will pronounce the benediction. And I would like everybody else, just let's all leave the church quietly. Shall we do that? I believe the Lord is with us. The Lord is speaking to people's hearts today. Maybe you're a Christian this morning and God has touched you because you haven't been growing in the Lord and you want to make a new start. I encourage you to come as well. Now, I mean if God has really spoken to you individually. I don't mean everybody come. I mean if God has touched your heart. Let's do business with God today. Let's hear His word to our hearts. May God bless us for his glory. Amen.